Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. And these gorgeous 80-degree temperatures here in Western New York kind of taking the sting out of last night's Buffalo Bandits loss in Game 1 of the NLL Finals. You heard there from Mike in the update and John Gertler, Randy Mearns there on the call on the goal by Chase Frazier. But unfortunately, the Bandits rally came up short. Tough loss last night. Very frustrating loss, especially for the Buffalo offense, as Calgary's defense did a pretty good job of shutting them down. But it's off to Calgary this Saturday night for Game 2. And that'll be here on WGR, 9 o'clock face-off. John Gertler will have pregame at 8:30 here on WGR. So since I've been opening up the show with Bandits talk for the last 2 weeks, I figured I'd keep it going here. And again, it's now two do-or-die games for the Bandits. Win next week and then bring it back home for Game 3 on May 31st. That's what we're looking forward to. All right, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Lots going on. It is the month of May. Things are heating up both nationally, internationally, and locally around racetracks all over the place, including at the Brickyard, Indianapolis, as today is pole day and bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for next week's running of the 103rd Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. We'll talk more about that coming up in about 11 minutes with Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star. Jim does a great job coming on the program with us every now and then, and he will be joining us hopefully live from Indianapolis at quarter past the hour. Yesterday was the first part of qualifying day, which locked in positions 10 through 30. Those positions are set. The fastest nine qualifiers will go head-to-head today for the fast nine in the first three rows of the Indianapolis 500, and it's bump day for the final six cars in qualifying, as three out of those six cars will go home, and there are some pretty big names in that mix, as James Hinchcliffe is in danger of missing his second straight Indianapolis 500. Hinch crashing in qualifying yesterday, went to a backup car but could not muster enough speed to get in, so Hinch will once again be trying to bump his way into the Indianapolis 500. Also, Fernando Alonso, the former Formula One driver, he also crashed a primary car earlier this week, and they had to go to a backup car on Thursday. They worked on it all day Friday and thought he was going to get into the top 30, but got bumped out towards the end of the session. And Alonso will also have to try and bump his way in today and get one of those final three spots. The other drivers that are going for the final six positions are Sage Karam for Dreyer Reinbold Racing, Max Chilton and Patrick Ward for Harding Racing, and Kyle Kaiser, also the sixth and final driver that's going to be in that bump session at the end of qualifying day. That gets going at about 12:15 today, I believe, with pole qualifying, and that goes for an hour, and then the hour after that is the bump session for the six drivers. The fast nine, the nine drivers going for the pole today at the Brickyard. Very interesting with you look at the teams represented. You got Spencer Pigot. He was fastest overall yesterday with a top four lap average speed of 230.083 miles an hour, just 0.02 quicker than Will Power for Penske Racing. Spencer Pigot driving for Ed Carpenter Racing. Penske well represented with Will Power, Simon Pagenaud, Joseph Newgarden, second, third, and fourth fastest. Then you got Colton Herta. Then you got two more Ed Carpenter cars with a couple of Eds, Ed Jones and Ed Carpenter, sixth and seventh fastest. Former Indy 500 winner Alexander Rossi, eighth, and Sebastian Bourdais, the final of the Fast Nine that will have a chance to lead the field to green next Sunday in the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. So we're going to talk more about that coming up at 11:15 with Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star. Also yesterday, NASCAR All-Star Race last night at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the annual Saturday night tradition there under the lights at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and Kyle Larson picking up the win after transferring from the the open race, the qualifying race beforehand. He got in and made a charge in the final stage. It kind of came out of nowhere, really, in that last stage to hold off Kevin Harvick to pick up his first ever All-Star win last night, and a huge win for that young man as he's kind of struggled here to start the 2019 season. But Larson picks up the win over Kevin Harvick. Kyle Busch finishing in third. Joey Logano is fourth. Bubba Wallace. How about Bubba Wallace? What a great story that was yesterday. Finishes fifth, and it has been a rough year for Bubba. You speak of Larson's rough season, but how about Bubba Wallace? He was in tears, I think it was at Dover, a couple of weeks ago during doing some media availability. He is struggling with some mental health issues with, you know, his team's performance. You know, he's very frustrated that the him and the Richard Petty Motorsports team has been struggling this year. And of course, he had that great run at Daytona last year, finishing second, but really has not had a ton of success here in his first year and a half in the Cup Series. But to get that spot in the second stage of the open race, and then having that emotional interview on Fox and getting a big hug from Ryan Blaney, real feel good moment for Bubba Wallace. And on top of that, there's been a lot of rumors that this could be the end for Richard Petty Motorsports, as there's rumors that the team could be folding or selling off their charter and scaling down and really, you know, scaling down to maybe a part-time team or just folding altogether. So really, things have not been good at Richard Petty Motorsports, and for them to get that win, it was just a stage win, obviously, but still huge. Just a feel-good moment for that team to hopefully, you know, get themselves turned around and hopefully get everybody on the right mindset, because Bubba Wallace really been, you know, he really shows his heart on his sleeve and have been showing a lot of emotion here this season. So it was just probably feel good, and a great moment for Bubba during drive introductions. I'm gonna tweet the picture out later, but if you didn't see it, but Bubba during drive introductions coming out, taking the two bottles of his sponsor's product and pouring them on him like he was Stone Cold Steve Austin or something. That was also probably my favorite moment of the night too during driver intros. There's a great photo of it. I'll tweet it out later. So Bubba finished fifth. Eric Almirola finishing sixth. Austin Dillon seventh. Alex Bowman, William Byron, and Martin Truex rounding out the top 10. Then you had Brad Keselowski, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Newman, Chase Elliott, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Eric Jones. That was the finish for the All-Star race. And you, Bowyer and Newman, of course, having their own little drama on and off the track, as Newman took offense to some contact with Clint Bowyer. Bowyer thought Newman was a lap down. And then Bowyer, in typical Bowyer fashion, you know, he's a history of running after people, Phoenix a few years ago, and he ran up to Newman's car and started punching away inside the driver compartment of a Ryan Newman last night. Of course, Bowyer did it still with his helmet on. Those two scuffled and yelled at each other and said bad words that they had to bleep out on television, but still some kind of drama moment, kind of more funny than anything at this point, but still a little bit of drama there between Newman and Bowyer. But I thought it was a pretty good All-Star race. The Open, I think the last 2 years now, the Open race has been the more entertaining one because there's a lot more contact, a lot more guys willing to get desperate to get those spots to qualify into the All-Star race. We had a couple incidents. Daniel Hemric and Ryan Preece, they got together. I thought Hemric was gonna be one of those guys that won one of those stages last night, but him and Preece bounced off each other, and there was a couple other incidents in the Open race. Daniel Suarez and Bubba Wallace, of course, coming to the checkered flag in their stage, and they got together, and Suarez went sliding through the grass. So the Open, I think, always provides more of those exciting moments in the All-Star race than the actual All-Star race itself. So those were very entertaining, and I think it's fun to see, you know, guys like that get some TV time, get some time running up front. Obviously, it's a smaller field, and some of the bigger names aren't in the race, but I still think it's cool when you see guys like that, like Bubba Wallace, like Daniel Hemric, you know, they get a shot to run up front and run for some kind of glory again, even if it's a stage win in the open race. I still think it's interesting to watch, and it's just good to see those guys, you know, get some attention paid towards them, and it helps them and their sponsors and everything. So the Open was the better part of the show, but the All-Star race wasn't that bad. Thank goodness there was a lot of restarts, because in true mile and a half fashion, if they got on a long run, the leader would pull away. Nobody blew anybody's doors off. I don't think we had much more of a lead over 2 seconds last night, but certainly it was all the restarts help, because they were going hellbent on the restarts. We saw three, we saw four wide a couple of times there late, especially in that third stage. They wound up four wide at one point. So that's what kept it really exciting. As NASCAR continued to tweak the aero package, they had those hood openings, those air ducts on the hood of the car last night. Not sure. I haven't read too much how much of an impact those were. It seemed about as same as what we've seen in the current package on some of the other mile and a half tracks that we've seen already in 2019. And, you know, the last, the Kansas race was, you know, a little bit better. Like I said, coming out of Kansas, that night race a couple of weeks ago, I thought we're seeing better racing with this aero package. We saw more of it last night too, but definitely the short runs are a lot more interesting. And again, the longer it went on, guys seemed to pull away, although it's still not a the second place car still has, if they're stronger, they can definitely reel in and catch that leader. And the clean air isn't as huge an impact for the leader as it is the dirty air. But that Larson getting the win. And so that puts the All-Star race in the book. And NASCAR will now, you know, turn its attention next week to the Coca-Cola 600, the longest race on their schedule. And again, I think, as I said last week, this part of the season is really, it's a really important part of the season, because I think it really sets the tone for the summer month and which guys are going to be maybe giving it all to try and, steal a win to make it into the playoffs, and which guys kind of know that they can get through this summer probably on points if they don't have a win already. We talked a little bit about it last week, but you got Jimmy Johnson now sitting on the bubble heading into next week, and you got guys like Newman and Dillon and Byron and Menard on the outside looking in. But then again, after Ricky Stenhouse, it really falls off, and we got about 20, 21 guys really with a mathematical chance, I think, at this point to get in on points. Four or five of those guys aren't going to make the playoffs, and we'll see if anybody gambles at some of the road course tracks coming up with Sonoma and Watkins Glen, or what's going to happen later on during the summer. But really, traditionally, it seems like the guys in the playoffs coming out of that Coke 600 are usually pretty much set in stone, outside of a few crazy exceptions where guys have, you know, found their way in, like an AJ Allmendinger or something, or a Marcus Ambrose winning at Watkins Glen or something. Really, the playoff field picture is pretty clear coming out of Charlotte, so we'll see how that continues to play out. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We're going to hopefully get Jim Aiello here on the phone in just a minute from the Indianapolis Star, as rain, unfortunately, is also being mentioned for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway today. And if it does rain out, the Fast 9 will be set. Spencer Piggott would be your pole sitter for the Indy 500 should that qualifying session rain out. Thankfully, though, bump day will not be rained out. The backup plan for bump day would be tomorrow. So they're not going to, you know, they're going to give those six guys one more shot on track to, you know, get their way into the field, which I think is very fair. I don't mind the them scrapping the Fast 9 if that gets rained out today. But so that would put Spencer Piggott on the pole. But Ed Carpenter Racing always seems to come, you know, loaded for bear when it comes to Indianapolis. Ed Carpenter, an Indianapolis native, huge local fan favorite. I think one of the past couple of races, when he took the lead, that place went nuts. He's got a good hometown fan base there in Indianapolis, and he is in the Fast 9 along with his two other cars. Let's go to the Western Hotline, though, and go live to Indianapolis and bring in from the Indianapolis Star, Jim Aiello joins us on the line. Jim, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us on a busy morning.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's going to be an exciting day, I think, as long as the weather holds.
Obviously, the key word from yesterday was drama. I know you wrote about it yesterday and did a video piece there on the IndyStar website, but drama was definitely the key word yesterday with qualifying.
Yeah, I know. I think if you watch that video, you get a pretty good picture of what happened yesterday, because I was flustered after the end of that day. It was just incredibly incredibly crazy, a million storylines going on, just chaotic, which is, again, I talked to Mark Miles this morning, and he was just thrilled. I mean, that's exactly what IndyCar wanted, was a day full of drama, a day full of chaos, and I think there was something, I think it was 70, more than 70 attempts out there, and teams are trying to get out there and make sure that they can save their, you know, their Indy 500 dreams and not have it come all down to today. So, yeah, in terms of drama, it was really just everything IndyCar could have wanted. I think NBC is probably pretty happy about it, too. Haven't seen the overnight TV ratings yet, but obviously a good day. And it comes at the expense a little bit of guys like James Hinchcliffe and Fernando Alonso, two of the biggest names here at Indy, And, of course, Hinchcliffe, we all know his history here. Mm-hmm. The guy almost died here a few years ago. He got bumped last year. He was on the pole right after the year after he got into that accident. So he's had such up and down career here. And this place seems to have it out for him. So obviously that's a hugely compelling storyline. And then, yeah, Fernando Alonso being who he is, the two-time world champion driver, and his team just not having this pace. And pretty much him saying on camera, McLaren came not prepared. They didn't come prepared for this. They weren't ready for the challenge. And this is what happens. And he said, if we get bumped, that's what we deserve. So that's a huge storyline. And, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, the euphoria of a small-time team like Dragon Speed and Ben Hanley as a rookie and making it over some of these other, you know, Goliaths in the sport, and Pippa Mann, you know, getting her redemption story after getting bumped. I mean, there was just chock full of drama yesterday.
Yeah, lots of great stories up and down the list. Let's just quickly go back to Alonso and Hinchcliffe. They, of course, were bit by crashes this week, Hinch yesterday, and I think Alonso earlier in the week. Do you think these backup cars are going to have enough speed today to find their way into the field of 33? Do you think the teams are going to be able to have done enough work here overnight to get these cars ready for today?
I'm very confident in what Arrowsmith Peterson Motorsports was able to do. They went out here in practice actually this morning and turned a lap at 2:28. There was a little bit of, not a ton of time for practice, and they only got to run, I think it was something like 10 or 11 laps. Mm-hmm. But they looked fast. Talked to James Hinchcliffe afterward. He sounded real confident. I think that an overnight of trying to, you know, make the car like the Speedway car, make sure everything is aligned and perfectly set up, I think this team has just too much resources, too many good people working with them, that I can't see him getting bumped today. I guess that's my bold prediction. But no, I don't think, honestly, of the six guys, that's the most confident I am in terms of making the show. Fernando Alonso, I'm not going to – I can't say I'm as confident in their prospects today. Mm-hmm. They just haven't had the pace. Alonso said it the same yesterday. They just haven't had the speed. I know that they've done a ton of work. There's been they've been talking to some teams, it sounds like, a little bit in the paddock, trying to get a little help in the setup. Zach Brown said this morning in a kind of a coy way, it's a friendly paddock. So maybe they got a little help overnight with the setup. So we'll see what they have in store today. They didn't get it. They only ran five laps in practice, but it was really kind of more just feeling out their new setup. So they made wholesale changes last night. So it's hard to know what they got in store. I know they're hoping for, you know, a little more practice time if this rain holds off. But yeah, it's hard to say what's coming for these guys.
Yeah, the weather there in Indianapolis, I know if it rains out, there won't be any more pole qualifying, but they'll still do bump day tomorrow. How is it looking weather-wise there in Indianapolis?
Cloudy with a lot of chance of storm. It's quite cloudy here. There's already raindrops. They had to cancel practice early because the track was getting wet.
Yeah.
The forecast doesn't look great. I mean, I think about it, the last I saw around 2:00, it's supposed to really come hard. But even if there are enough droplets going on here and just sprinkles of rain, that'll keep cars off track until the real storm hits. So this thing could get pushed till tomorrow. And as you said, they won't run the fast nine. We'll just have they'll just lock in what happened yesterday. So Spencer Pigot would be your pole sitter. And then, yeah, we'll do the bumping tomorrow.
Yeah, fun story with the Fast 9, the three Ed Carpenter cars and the three Penske cars, along with the Rossi and Bourdais, and Herta up there in the Fast 9. But
yeah.
Is Ed Carpenter, they're just, you know, they're kind of like the hometown team there in Indianapolis. And it was great to see them have a lot of success yesterday.
Absolutely. You know, Ed Carpenter grew up around here. He's a member of the family here and went to Butler. So, you know, everybody in Indianapolis loves Ed. And these guys just have it figured out, man. They got the formula for Indianapolis. It's incredible. He's got three cars in the Fast 9 again. He did the same thing last year. If you remember, Ed was on pole. And Spencer Pigot and Danica Patrick were in the Fast 9. This year he's got Ed Jones and Spencer Pigot along with him in the Fast 9. These guys just know how to get it done here. It's really that simple. I mean, they whatever that secret sauce is for Indianapolis, they got it. And but obviously they're going to be competing with the Penske cars today. As you mentioned, they had three of their four drivers make the Fast 9. You got Will Power, last year's winner. Simon Pagenaud and Joseph Newgarden all showed great pace. And so it's you know, that's six Chevrolets with a lot of power, a lot of speed. It's going to be tough, I think, for the three Hondas, the Alexander Rossi, Sebastian Bourdais, and Colton Herta, to overcome them. Obviously, they got to be thrilled where they're starting in the Fast 9. But yeah, if I had to put my money down on someone, it would probably be one of those Chevys.
Jim Aiello from the IndyStar joining us live here on Fast Track. Jim, a very exciting field. I think seven former winners, tons of exciting rookies with the Ericssons and Rosenquists and Hurtas and Santino Ferrucci, a lot of exciting rookies. Who are some of your favorites for next Sunday? I don't know how much you've learned in practice this week, but who are some of your favorites heading into next Sunday's race?
Is there a race next week? My gosh, I'm so wrapped up in qualifying, man. I haven't even thought about next week. No, it's just been so chaotic here, and it's been fun. I think it's everything that IndyCar and like wanted out of it in terms of just trying, you know, making it a separate event. But yeah, no, looking into next week, I mean, it's kind of doesn't it have to be the guys that we're talking about in the Fast Nine? I mean, we've, you know, the guys, the drivers have talked all week about how these cars are still tough to handle in traffic. It's still hard to make passes when you're behind 5, 10, 15 other cars. So I do think the guys that are starting up front are going to have a big advantage. And so yeah, that means I think the Ed Carpenter cars, the Penske cars, I mean, Penske's been incredible here for years. He's got 17 BorgWarner trophies to show for it. So or baby Borgs, I should say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like I said, I'm betting on a Chevrolet, and if I'm like I said, I feel like I'm copping out, not going with any a bold prediction, but no, I think it's going to be hard to bet against Carpenter and Penske right now.
Well, you like the Chevys, but I had Mark Janes on last week, and he had a lot of good things to say about Marco Andretti, who qualified 10th yesterday in a Honda, however, handicap his chances to put the Andretti family back in victory lane at Indianapolis.
Well, I got to tell you, I would be a big fan of that happening just because, my gosh, would that be a story. Can you imagine Marco Andretti winning Indianapolis 500 50 years after his grandfather did it and all the bad luck and putting an end to the, you know, the quote-unquote Andretti curse and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed because I feel like that story just writes itself.
Sure.
But, Marco Andretti, no, he's been quick. There's no doubt. The Andretti cars are absolutely, you can make an argument as the Honda cars with the best chance in terms of competing with those Chevrolets. Obviously, exemplified by the fact that you have Alexander Rossi in the Fast Nine and Colton Herta, you know, who is with Harding Steinbrenner Racing, but they share that technical alliance with Andretti, is essentially running a fifth Andretti car. So, yeah, absolutely. Or, I'm sorry, sixth. Yeah, forgot about Connor Daly there for a second. Sixth Andretti car for the 500. But, yeah, I definitely think Marco's got a shot. He's been, you know, we all know how good he's been here. He's been so close to winning. This guy knows how to put together 500 miles. I think that's the experience. I think we saw last year with Will Power. I think you kind of see these guys that would have experience. They know that you just got to survive these for the first 250 miles, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I think Marco Andretti has, you know, more experience and more knowledge and more power, more knowledge and more, I'm sorry, data and information from Andretti than most other teams have. So, yeah, I mean, he's, I'm talking Chevys are going to be the favorites, but among the Hondas, I absolutely think Marco's got a good shot.
Lots of celebrities coming to Indianapolis next week, and I saw Matt Damon and I think Christian Bale are going to be there.
Yeah.
What's the big concert in the infield during the race? I know that's become a big thing the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, you put me on the spot. I think it's Foreigner, right? I think it's Foreigner is going to be there, and then Kool and the Gang? I think that's right. I think I have that right. I don't spend a lot of time with the concerts, admittedly.
That's a good. That'd be my move, too. I was just curious if you knew.
But no, I do. I believe it's those guys, and then they have that big EDM show for
Friday.
Yeah, it's a whole, they got concerts and a whole event here. I mean, that's part of the draw of this place, honestly. I mean, I think it was Doug Bowles, you know, the president of IMS, said I think 80% of the fans here aren't really actually, you know, IndyCar fans. They're just fans of the event and fans of the show. And so, yeah, I think the celebrities are a big draw. And so, apparently, I think, I hope I'm right. I'm pretty sure it's Foreigner. Pretty sure.
That's all right. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I was just...
okay. I should know. I should know.
That's all right. Well, Jed, thank you. Again, I know busy morning with qualifying going on. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy today and enjoy next Sunday. We're excited about it here in Buffalo. We'll be watching, but enjoy it there in Indianapolis. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much. Let's hope for no rain and some fun races.
Sounds good. Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star does a great job covering IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Find him on Twitter at Jim Aiello, and he has a lot of great content for the Indy Star and USA Today, both in print and does some video content as well, too. So if you ever want to stay on top of what's going on, really, Jim is one of the guys to follow to kind of keep on tabs on what's going on with the IndyCar world. I forgot to tease. We have a special guest, hopefully. Fingers crossed. I'm not even going to say who it is because I have a history with cool guests and phones and connections, so I'm not going to jinx. I'm going to not jinx it and not say who it is until we get him on the line in 11:35. But stick with us through the break. Hopefully we come back. We got a really cool guest. If not, we could take your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If not, we'll break down a little bit more about NASCAR and IndyCar. And again, love to take your phone calls, and maybe I'll just complain about the Bandits loss. I don't know. Hopefully this guest comes through. Should be good to go. Hopefully it should be fun if we get him. Well, we'll be back with more Fast Track here on WGR.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sorry, I said it last week too, but that makes me laugh every time. I don't know. For some reason, White Brad says WGR. 11:32 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan here in WGR's Fast Track. Next week, we'll be on at 10 a.m., kind of a tradition for the program, the Memorial Day Sunday, because we're always on an hour early because of the Indianapolis 500, which will be live coverage from the Brickyard, courtesy of our friends at the IMS Radio Network at 11 a.m., so we got to make way for them. So we'll be on at 10, so hopefully you can join us an hour early. Hopefully while you're watching the Grand Prix of Monaco, you can turn down the TV, turn up the radio, or turn up the phone on your app. App on your phone, that is, and listen to us here with Fast Track. Well, hopefully, already got a guest for Charlotte end of things. We're going to talk to Jordan Bianchi next week, motorsports journalist, one of our favorites here on the program. He'll join us live from Charlotte, and then we'll go out to Indy. Hopefully, have a live guest at Indianapolis. But let's go to the Western Hotline, and joining us on the line is a motorsports legend, a winner in all three NASCAR major national series. Kenny Schrader joins us on the line. Kenny, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. It's so great to talk to you.
Wow, it's good to talk to y'all. We're up here in Canada. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, you are in Canada because you are at the Humberstone Speedway, which is not far from us. It's the closest racetrack to downtown Buffalo, and you're going to be racing at the Humberstone Speedway tonight. Tell us what kind of cars you're going to be driving. UMP Modifieds. You know, we're the dirt car big block modified fans up here in Western New York instead of that Ontario, but tell us how UMP Modifieds are kind of different from those cars.
Yeah, well, we don't run near as big of tires, and the bodies aren't near as big. Our cars don't have the aerodynamic downforce that the dirt modifieds make. We're probably not a ton worse on power. I mean, we're down some. We run small blocks, but big small blocks, 430 cubic inches and stuff. And they're making right at 800 horsepower and stuff. So it's just it's kind of a detuned big block.
Yeah, and he'll be racing tonight at Humberstone, and actually he'll be in action tomorrow, too, at the Merrittville Speedway over in Thorold, Ontario, for the Victoria Day weekend up there in Canada. And, Kenny, what do you think about those two tracks? I think you've run at them before, but what do you think of Humberstone and Merrittville?
Well, I've got laps around them when we were up here doing sponsored appreciation days, and we gave some people some rides and stuff. Never been able to race on them.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. We ran last night at South Buxton Raceway,
mm-hmm.
Southern Ontario now, and we got rained out Friday night at Osh Weekend. So we had a four-day swing up here, keep us a little bit busy.
Yeah, it's been rough weather-wise. My home track on Friday is Ranceville. I think you've been up there once, too, doing some sponsor stuff. We got rained out there Friday night as well, too. Kenny, for those that don't know, obviously you ran in the Cup Series for so many years with a lot of great teams. You've been out of that for a few years, but since then you've kept very busy behind the wheel doing a lot of short track racing. How many races do you still run a year on short tracks around the country in North America?
Well, this year, I don't know, we'll be lucky to get 60 in this year, but we've already been rained out 16 nights.
Mm.
So, you know, that's kind of hurting our schedule, but we've been usually shoot for about 70, and then we do 50 or better of those sponsor appreciation days. So, you know, we're in a car 120 days a year still.
That's got to be exciting. Is that kind of like, that's just your golf game? Instead of, you know, certain drivers, they retire and just go play golf, you just go short track racing?
Yeah, I don't want to go play golf yet, so we're pretty happy doing the short track racing.
You've got
no time for golf.
No time for golf. Yeah, very busy schedule. You've got a big race next weekend, the Little 500 at the Anderson Speedway. That's kind of the big deal, along with the Indianapolis 500 next weekend. And that's a sprint car race on pavement. And you've run it the last couple of years, I know. What is it like being in that event?
Well, you know, we ran, like you said, last 2 years. We finished the 10th the first year in it. We finished 9th last year. And it's a challenge. I mean, it's 500 laps around that quarter-mile asphalt. Got to make a minimum of two pit stops. And, you know, you might even pit on the green. You don't you just come in and you kick it out of gear. They jack it up, change tires, fill it fuel. You never get out of it. push you back off. Push trucks will be pushing you back off on the apron while they're still running around there on green. So it's very challenging. Have had a lot of fun doing it. I've been very fortunate to drive for Brad and Tara Armstrong out of the Indiana area. So, yes, looking forward to doing it. But it's a, you know, you did something at the end of the night.
Yeah, I just getting to the checkered flag has got to be an accomplishment. Just to survive 500 laps there at a quarter mile racetrack, you just got to be happy finishing.
Yeah, well, things happen pretty quick, and I think they tested the other night. They run right in the very low 11 second category, so I mean it's extremely quick to run around there.
I heard you have a pretty good spotter for that race too. The last couple of years.
I don't know if you'd call him that. Yeah, no, he's done us a good job. We're going to have a radio geared up better this year so I can hear him. Joe Scott Nicky's spotted for us, and we've had fun doing it.
Yeah, I work for Joe with the Race of Champions up here, and yeah, I've heard some good stories about his trips down to Anderson to work with you. You've also got a lot of other great stories of racing here in New York State. I remember seeing you run the Race of Champions at Oswego. You filled in for Tony Stewart. You've run the Moody Mile. I believe you run Syracuse at the Moody Mile. What are some of your memories of racing open-wheel modifieds here in New York?
Well, I mean, when I filled in for Tony, we had a rough night that night. We wound up tore up. We went first time we ever ran it. Oswego, we flew up after the Firecracker race in July, and we run third behind Mike McLaughlin and Brian Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was a little better time there, but so many good racetracks in New York. We've had fun running them.
You've run a lot of different races. Is there something still on your bucket list? Is there a race or a track that you haven't had a chance to get to yet that you still want to run?
Not really. Don't have a bucket list yet. We've run it closing in on 550 different tracks, and had obviously a lot of fun doing it. We've only got two states in the country that we haven't raced in yet, and we never set out to do that, so that's still not on the bucket list. But when it comes time to think about quitting, we might have to do something there to get there.
Very good. Well, Kenny, I'll let you go. I know you got a busy morning. Looking forward to seeing you at the track tonight at Humberstone. I'll be there on the microphone. But thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Kenny Schrader from Missouri, the legend himself, Cup Series, former regular, four-time winner in the Cup Series. But he keeps at it. You heard him. He had 70 races, you know, in the car 120 times a season still. And he's been out of the Cup Series for 5 years. So one of the great guys in racing, and he'll be at the Humberstone Speedway tonight, and they get going at 6:30. It's opening night tonight at Humberstone, so they're going to have the UMP Modifieds, which I'm just interested because I don't think I've ever seen them personally in person at a dirt track. So they've got a lot of cars that come from, he mentioned South Buxton, they come on down from there. They'll be competing against Kenny, but then Humberstone will have all their regular divisions too. The Dirt Car Sportsman, the Crate Late Models, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Pro 4 Trucks. So that starts at 6:30 tonight at the Humberstone Speedway. Again, if you've never been, it's not far. Literally, it is the closest racetrack to downtown Buffalo in Port Colborne. Just cross the Peace Bridge and then take Highway 3, and you can't miss it. It's right smack dab on the right-hand side there in Port Colborne, Ontario. It's a nice little racetrack. Enjoy my time up there. And then Monday night action, Kenny will be at the Merrittville Speedway over in Thorold, Ontario. And that's the Canada, the Victoria Day holiday, of course. And I'm trying to find the full shebang there for Monday. I'll have to get it for the local racing roundup. Oh, here we go. I found it. Tomorrow night, yeah, Kenny's going to be there. They've got the sprint cars. They got the Action Sprint Tour, which I believe are the 360 sprints, the UMP Modifieds. There's Sportsman, Hoosier Stock, six cylinders, and a school bus race on Monday night there at the Merrittville Speedway. That starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So if you're in Canada, have the day off, go enjoy it. If you're on this side of the border, you know, get out of work and then cross over. Thorold is not far either from Buffalo. It's probably the next closest track once you get across the border into Canada. So you've got two chances to see Kenny Schrader in action in Canada. And I remember the night in Oswego, the race of champions was supposed to be Tony Stewart, and it was the year Tony was going for his first championship. And, you know, these guys have contracts. He had his contract with Joe Gibbs, and they were in hunt for the championship. So Joe Gibbs, the coach, said, you can't run a modified car at Oswego. So they got Schrader to jump in the car. Tony Stewart still came to Oswego because he had to sign autographs and still had that part of his deal's contract to hold up to. And but he wound up spotting for Schrader that night up on the in the tower there at Oswego. And I just remember Schrader hit the inside boilerplate there at the Steel Palace, and unfortunately ended his night. But that was still pretty cool just to see that. And he'd run there previously, as he said, racing against Mike McLaughlin and Brian Ross. I think he was a teammate to Brian Ross in a second car for Ed Close, the 69 team that Reggie Ruggeri also used to drive for. So he's had some good runs there. But again, I love the continued tie-in with NASCAR and short track racing. We need to see more of it. And, you know, while Schrader doesn't do as much on the NASCAR side, he's still a great ambassador, I think, for short track racing. And, as you know, just people knowing him could get them to come to a short track that might normally not go there. But then you got guys, of course, like all the guys that run with the Outlaws, Casey Kane and Tony Stewart, Kyle Larson, Ricky Stenhouse, you know, those names going over to World of Outlaws. You've got Ryan Preece, who, of course, is still going to come back and run with the Modifieds a few more times this year now that he's in the Cup Series. You know, even Daniel Hemric used to run Modifieds, and like Joy mentioned, he won that Legends, that big million-dollar Legends race at Charlotte. That's kind of what put his name on the map coming up through the ranks, was he won the Legends Million at Charlotte. And, you know, there's not enough stories of guys coming out of short track racing into the Cup Series as much anymore, you know, as there was, say, maybe 30 years ago, where kind of everybody, you know, you were coming out of you were like Mark Martin and Rusty Wallace coming out of ASA. You were Greg Sachs coming out of the Modifieds. You know, there's not enough of those stories. I mean, yeah, they still run Legends cars and late models, but they don't really put as much time in the short track level, because now there's such that urgency where they're getting the kids into the late models at 14, 15 years old. And then they're running ARCA when they're 16, 17, and they're in the Cup Series by their 20. You know, unfortunately, that window has become so short for driver development. We don't get to build the short track racing legends that get to go onto the Cup Series like Dale Earnhardt did. I mean, Dale, you know, followed in his dad's footsteps and running the short tracks down there in North Carolina and the late model sportsman and everything before moving up to the Cup Series. He was a rookie in the Cup Series in his early 30s, I believe, just going off the top of my head. You know, by the time you're that age now in the Cup Series, you're almost past your prime. So it's weird how it is the window has shortened. But that's sports in general, too. I mean, you look just, you know, the guys that come out of college early to go play in the NBA or that want to come out early if they could to go play in the NFL, that window has shortened up where the younger guys getting to the pro levels in all sports has certainly shortened. But I think it fortunately is hurt the short track world when it comes to motorsports, because these guys can't build their legends, their legend in the short track racing world before going to the Cup Series. They just kind of, you know, dabble a little bit in one kind of racing and legends cars or late models or something, and then they're quickly off running ARCA and trying to get truck rides and Xfinity rides, and especially if they have a lot of money behind them, they go right into those upper levels. So, but again, go see Kenny Schrader tonight at Humberstone or tomorrow at Merrittville, and really cool to talk to him. Glad we got him. That's why I didn't want to jinx it, because I always get these cool guests, and then for whatever issue, you know, the connection's not there, or he gets busy and doesn't answer the phone, which is understandable. But he was there, so cool to talk to Kenny Schrader. We'll see him tonight at Humberstone. Speaking of local racing, some tracks did get their shows in this weekend. We'll hit the local racing roundup. We get back here to wrap up this edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we did see some Friday night action at the Freedom Motorsports Park in Delavan. They kicked off their season on Friday night. Max Blair picked up the win in the Super Late Models over Mike Wunderling and Dave Scott. Nice field of Super Lates at Freedom. Brad Rouse in the Sportsman over Josh Wilcox and Kyle Inman. Kurt Stebbins in the Street Stocks. Brad Shepard in the Mini Stocks. Dustin Skinner got the win in the Bandits. Ransomville, unfortunately, not really rained out, but just swamped out, I guess. The ground still too saturated after the heavy rain Thursday night. Plenty of, not enough sun to kind of dry things out. Brantsville will try once again this Friday to get the season kicked off. Saturday night action, good times rolling at Genesee Speedway as they get their third season show of the season in. Dave DuBois in the crate late models. Cody Wolf, second win of the year at a different racetrack. He got the win in the Sportsman over Jim Harbison and Kyle Inman. Cody also has a win at the Outlaw Speedway in Dundee, New York this season. Josh Pangrazio in the street stocks. Brandon Shepard in the mini stocks, so I think that gives him two wins on the weekend. Allison DeWitt in the Bandits there at Genesee Speedway last night. Wyoming County International Speedway kicked off their season yesterday, too, over in Perry, New York. Greg Molt got the win in the four cylinders. Dave Krawczyk is back, yay, in the super stocks, getting a win over Eric Hastreeter and Paul Fly. Brian Hallett in the six cylinders, and Dan Majak getting the win in the SST modifieds over Kevin Timmerman, KT, and Gary Kuhn. Merrittville Speedway, their third show of the year last night. Matt Williamson got his second win of the season over Tim Jones, Pete Bicknell, Gary Lindberg, and Todd Gordon. Justin Sharp, good to see Sharpie get a win there in the Sportsman over Ryan Ferry and Brad Rouse. The Fonz got the win in the Hoosier Stocks. Jason Fontaine over Billy Bleach. Taylor LaFontaise in the four cylinders and Josh Slater in the mod lights there last night at the Merrittville Speedway. Thank you to all the wonderful PR people who either email us or post on social media the results from the tracks out there. If you don't hear your track mentioned, please point them in my direction, either on social media or email me the results. We can make sure we get them on the show every week. Lancaster Dragway at New York International Raceway Park got their season started off, too, yesterday with Test and Tune for the Dragway program. It sounded like a good turnout and everybody pretty happy. They get going this Friday night with the weekly IHRA drag racing program. In fact, they have Test and Tune on Tuesday, cruise night on Wednesday, and then Friday, the first night of IHRA points for the drag program there at Lancaster. They got the Buffalo Street Outlaws and the TNT Hot Rod Series as well, too, coming in. So a big show Friday night at Lancaster, New York International Raceway Park. So very exciting. Local tracks now getting to full swing. Again, tonight, Humberstone Speedway at 6:30. They kick off their season with Kenny Schrader, the UMP Modified, plus their full load of divisions that they run on a weekly basis, including the Dirt Car Sportsman. And then Monday night, again, the Canadian holiday, Merrittville Speedway, 7 o'clock with Sportsman, Sprint Cars, and UNP Modifieds, Kenny Schrader, and School Bus Racing, apparently, at the Merrittville Speedway tomorrow night. So again, some great action across the border here over the next two nights. Also, the Race of Champions Modified Series got their season kicked off yesterday. Andy Jankowiak getting the win at the Chemung Speedrome over Zach Curran, Brian Sherwood, Zane Ziner, Matt Hirschman, the top five there at Chemung. Great turnout for the Race of Champions Series. 26 cars on hand. That's a great start to the season. Nice mix of drivers kind of from all over with some guys coming up from PA, the Western New York contingent, the Central New York guys all mixed in. A nice mix of drivers. But Andy J, again, we talked about it last week with Joe Skanicki, coming out short on the championship last year, but Andy getting a good start to his season, whereas Chuck Hosfeld got caught up in an incident and he finished 19th yesterday. So good to see Andy J get the win. Also, got to give a shout out to the Catalanos. They were at Wall Stadium in New Jersey for the NASCAR Modifieds. Woody Pitkett got the win over Blake Barney, Rob Summers, and then Timmy Catalano, career best fourth place finish. But was leading in on a late race, like green-white checkered restart, apparently, but got passed, but still wound up fourth. First career top five for Timmy. And Tommy Catalano had a top 10 run, too, finishing in ninth. So congrats to the Catalano family for a nice run there at Wall Stadium. Patrick Emmerling, unfortunately, transmission issues early on in the race took him out of the running. And he fell all the way to fourth in the point standings because of that, as he was second going into the race at Wall Stadium, but now he's dropped to fourth in the NASCAR Modified points. So in 28 cars there at Wall Stadium. So good turnout for both Modified tours yesterday with, 55 cars between the two series. Very excellent to see. So more to come there. Thank you so much. Again, next week we're on at 10 a.m., a tradition unlike any other, our Memorial Day Sunday show with Indy, Charlotte, Monaco, the whole shebang. Hopefully you'll join us here next Sunday at 10 a.m. on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.